We establish no religion in this country, nor will we ever. All are free to believe or not to believe. All are free to practice a faith or not. But those who believe must be free to speak of and act on their belief, to apply moral teaching to public questions. Without God, there is a coarsening of the society. And without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure. If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
Those words caused a furor in some religious and political circles, Jewish leaders and Democrats among those criticizing Mr. Reagan on grounds he was injecting religion into the 1984 campaign. The reaction caused Mr. Reagan to issue clarifying remarks, the major of those, in a Tuesday speech to the American Legion in Salt Lake City.
I can't think of anyone who favors the government establishing a religion in this country. I know I don't. But what some would do is to twist the concept of religion, freedom of religion, to mean freedom against religion. So let me repeat what I've always believed. Religion is one of the traditional values which deserves to be preserved and strengthened. We are and must remain a pluralistic society. When we speak of church and religion, we speak of them with a small c and a small r, so as to include within the constitutional protection all churches and all religions. The unique thing about America is that every single American is free to choose and practice his or her own religion, or to choose no religion at all. And that right must not and shall not be questioned or violated by the state. We must protect the rights of all our citizens to their beliefs, including the rights of those who choose no religion.
Walter Mondale had been among those criticizing Mr. Reagan's remarks from the beginning. His toughest words came in a nationwide radio address from Minneapolis on Labor Day. He said then, the Reagan approach will corrupt our faith and divide our nation. That was a prelude to his major address on the subject to the B'nai B'rith here in Washington today.
A few weeks ago, on the eve of the Republican convention, 45,000 ministers received a letter from the chairman of the Reagan campaign, Senator Lexalt, which reads as follows. Dear Christian leader, it began, and before it ended, it had defined Mr. Reagan's supporters as, quote, leaders under God's authority. Most Americans would be surprised that God is a Republican. And if Senator Laxalt's letter were an isolated example, one might dismiss it as partisan zealotry. Unfortunately, it is not an exception. Listen to Jerry Falwell, whose benediction at the Republican convention called Mr. Reagan and Mr. Bush, quote, God's instruments for rebuilding America. Or scan something called the Presidential Biblical Scorecard, which as much as brands me as anti-family and unchristian. I am alarmed by the rise of what a former Republican congressman called moral McCarthyism, a determined band is raising doubts about people's faith. They are reaching for government power to impose their own beliefs on other people. And the Reagan administration has opened its arms to them. And what I am doing here today is something that in 25 years of public life, I never thought I would do. I have never before had to defend my religious faith in a political campaign. I have never thought it proper for political leaders to use religion to partisan advantage by advertising their own faith and questioning their opponents. I believe in an America where all people have the right to pursue their faith, not just freely, but also without insult or embarrassment. I believe in an America where government is not permitted to dictate the religious life of our people, where religion is a private matter between individuals and their God, between families and their churches and their synagogues, with no room for politicians in between.
3 hours later, President Reagan spoke before that same group. He ignored the Mondale charges directly and said only this about the issue.
The unique thing about America is a wall in our Constitution separating church and state. It guarantees there will never be a state religion in this land, but at the same time, it makes sure that every single American is free to choose and practice his or her religious beliefs, or to choose no religion at all. Their rights shall not be questioned or violated by the state.
We continue the discussion and the debate now with two United States senators with strong religious beliefs who strongly disagree on most things political, including religion and politics. They are Senator John East, Republican from North Carolina, and Senator Patrick Leahy, Democrat of Vermont. Senator Leahy, is there a rise of moral McCarthyism, to use the term that that Vice President Mondale used today?
I think the term he used, of course, which was from a Republican, coincidentally, is an accurate one. And I really, in almost 20 years in political life, I've never seen anything quite like it. There seems to be some idea that we should discover what the political affiliations of God is. Well, God's not a Republican, God's not a Democrat, and it's not right to imply that God is. It worries me that when you see people in political life who go and start talking about what our religious belief should be, how we should do it, and so on, and give great speeches about it. I think if they really feel that strongly, they should worry about setting the example, a religious example, through their own lives and through their own way of doing things. I don't think that people in political office should be out trying to tell people how they should practice their religion. They should instead be talking about what their political stands are. And let their religion be a private matter, and let it be by their own example. It sets far more example, for example, with somebody in public office, if they truly believe in going to church and in practicing their religion, to do that, not to talk about somebody else doing it.
Well, McCarthyism going on, Senator East?
Well, of course not, and it's absurd to say so. I think that we first need to put this in the context of politics. Mr. Mondale is way behind in the polls. He's grasping for political straws, and this is one of the straws. It's politically, I think it's a pretty slender reed that he's found to lean upon. First, I would remind Mr. Mondale that Geraldine Ferraro, as you noted in the introductory comment, first raised the issue in San Francisco, where she said the president is unchristian in terms of his social policies. So I think first he ought to lecture his own vice presidential candidate before he turns to President Reagan. President Reagan, I think, has very clearly spelled out a responsible position here. Namely, no one's calling for an established national religion. No one is trying to impose that upon the country. That was the intention of the First Amendment. What he is saying is, which I think is the common sense thing, that the moral and ethical and religious values of people, whatever party they're in, whether they think of themselves as liberal or conservative, are bound to work themselves in to their policy position on certain issues. We have ample examples of those. On the liberal side, we think of the World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches. We think of Martin Luther King's activities on behalf of civil rights. We think of William Sloan Coffin in the Vietnam War. We think of the Berrigan brothers in the Vietnam War. And then it only seems to me when there is a conservative activist, Mr. Falwell, for example, that all of a sudden we're told, my, this is a very terrible thing that is occurring. I think it's interesting to know the National Conference of Catholic Bishops when they introduce their views on abortion, they are told, oh, now you're mixing politics and religion. Yet if they issue a statement on the nuclear freeze, then those of the liberal side of the spectrum say, now that is a very good socially conscious thing to do, where religion and politics clearly mix. So it's politics, not religion, right? Well, I think what we're saying is that it's impossible to compartmentalize your moral and ethical and religious values from a particular phase of life, whether it be your personal conduct, and it will even affect your position on particular issues. Let's concede that, and I think we're simply conceding what is in fact, it's metaphysically impossible to separate the two. And we're all agreed we will not have an established national church, and that's what the president is saying, and I agree with it.
I think we're beginning to get into kind of those middle-age philosophical arguments. The next thing we'll be doing was balancing how many angels fit in the head of a pin. The fact is, and I think just about everybody, left or right, or middle, Republican or Democrat, agrees that religion has been injected into politics more in the last couple of years than any time, certainly since I've been old enough to vote. And we see it all the time. We have a group, the ACTV, go down and meet at the White House, and they say that we don't have, the problem with America, we do not have enough of God's ministers running our country. The political said they were going to flood the federal bureaucracy with Christians. One of their members say that, for example, that Catholics, that's a false religion, that Jews are consigned to hell. Well, now, are we going to go back to the things that we fought a revolution to get away from? Are we going to turn our back on the First Amendment to the Constitution? I mean, we have stayed a democracy, and a strong democracy, I think, primarily because of the First Amendment to the Constitution. It gives us a right of free speech. It gives us a right to practice our religion. I consider myself very much a religious person. I hold my own religion and my family's religion very much as a personal thing. But I will set the example to my family and to my children of what that religion should be, and we'll do it within the context of our church. We don't need the government to tell us, and we don't need government leaders to tell us how to practice our religion.
Do you disagree with that as a basic premise?
Well, I don't think, first of all, that President Reagan can be held accountable for every irresponsible statement that others might be making. Again, he might go back first and lecture Geraldine Ferraro on her comment, and President Reagan is saying none of those things. And I think if you listen to him, it's an eminently reasonable and responsible position. What he is saying, there has been a tendency today, and I think it's a valid one, to deny access to Judeo-Christian values into the public debate, that other positions are perfectly all right, very humanistic ones, agnostic ones, atheistic ones, but it's when you come to the Judeo-Christian spiritual and religious heritage that all of a sudden this is taboo and you cannot, quote, mix religion and politics, and particularly if it represents a more conservative.
What about it isn't a Judeo-Christian thing that they're following. They say, dear Christian leader, as chairman of Reagan, Bush 84, etc. And you look at this letter
that's sent out with the
red, white, and blue and all, talking about, it sounds like almost going into a holy war. And I have to think, going back, reading my history of the holy wars, when both sides went to battle secure in the knowledge that God was on their side.
But what about Senator East's point that you and others have only raised Cain about this when it became a conservative issue that the religious leaders have gone to, rather than, well, you heard what he said in Vietnam, etc.
I disagree with that. I think it is wrong for religious leaders to tell people how they should vote, whether they're on the right or the left, whether it is a question of school prayer or Vietnam, whether it's a question of nuclear arms control or abortion. Every religious leader has a right, in fact, I would say a duty, to preach to their congregation what they feel are moral values, to preach God's word however they see it and however they interpret it. But when they cross over and say that, now we'll tell you how to run your country, now we'll tell you how to have your political life, that's wrong. You cannot mix religion and politics any more than you can have the government tell religion how to run things. I would not want the government to tell various religious groups how they must practice their religion any more than those religious groups should tell the government how to run.
how do you see the mix here, Senator East?
Well, I don't see that the president would disagree with Senator Leahy. What he is saying is that we believe in pluralism. We believe in diversity. And we simply are all agreed we will not have an established national church. He is expressing what I think is a legitimate concern that to some extent today in contemporary American life, for example, in the public schools, anything that would reflect a religious symbolism of the Judeo-Christian heritage is denied access. The Ten Commandments.
You don't think he's saying...
cannot that, be posted, yeah. For example.
You don't think he's saying that there are many religions, but Christianity is number one?
I do not think he is saying that at all. He is taking a very tolerant position
on it.
Well, I think
that when you look at the debate we recently had on school prayer in the Senate, it was very clear that the constitutional amendment that the president was espousing, and certainly in the beginning of that debate, would have had the government dictate what kind of a prayer we're supposed to say. Now,
That's not so.
The first constitutional amendment that came up had a prayer dictated what it was going to be, and totally lost sight of the fact that children are not allowed to pray in school. Ask any child who's just gone through final exams if they've ever prayed in school. They'll tell you they prayed in school.
Gentlemen, thank you both very much. Robin?
This heightened debate is not confined to the politicians, but is being waged at the grassroots level by various groups which have sprung up to promote or protest the role of religion in government. People for the American Way started in 1980 to counter the rise of the religious right. Its chairman is John Buchanan, a former Republican congressman from Alabama who blames the loss of his seat on efforts by Christian conservatives. On the other hand, Christian conservatives have banded together to form their own organizations, one of which is the American Coalition for Traditional Values. It claims it will deliver 2.5 million fundamentalist votes to Reagan this year. Its chairman is evangelist Tim LaHaye, who joins us tonight from public station KPBS in San Diego, where his organization is based. Mr. LaHaye, as you heard, Mr. Mondale charged today that Mr. Reagan is reaching out to religious groups, and I presume he meant ones like yours, that want to use the power of government to impose their beliefs on the country. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think it's a lot of smokescreen in a political campaign. Actually, I think this is all very healthy, where we have watched a pendulum swing in our country from being a nation under God, a nation that requires our public officials to swear their allegiance to America on the Bible, to where we have expelled God from public education, we've expelled prayer, we've become a secularized nation. And I think the liberal, secular humanists and secularists of our political mainstream have brought all of this on themselves. We believe that religion has a vital part of a person's life and makeup.
What have they brought on themselves? Or you say all of this?
You see, we've had a pendulum swing to secularism. And the American people are not a hedonistic, secularist society overwhelmingly. I believe this is a country made up overwhelmingly of people that have a belief, a basic belief in God, and the civic moral principles of God. But we've had public leaders that have led us contrary. And a good example is the day that the U.S. Senate voted against the president's prayer amendment. The New York Times came out with a poll and said that 81% of the American people favored a prayer amendment in our schools, and yet 44% of our U.S. senators voted against it.
Mr. Buchanan, I'm sorry, I just wanted to get a comment now from Mr. Buchanan. How do you see Mr. Mondale's charge that religious groups want to use the power of government to impose their beliefs on the country?
Well, I must confess, I was the Republican who talked about the dangers of moral McCarthyism, and I did so because I'm concerned about that reality which Reverend LaHaye has just this moment demonstrated. He referred to those who disagree with his own narrow far-right agenda as liberal secular humanists. Now, truth to tell, his field director, Gary Jarman, began doing report cards on members of the Congress in 1980 and has continued ever since. And they were called moral Christian report cards. And they were judged as to their morality and their Christianity as to whether they were for or against the Equal Rights Amendment or the Department of Education. Equal Rights Amendment was an anti-family, anti-Christian position. Department of Education was an anti-Christian position. And truth to tell, if you examine those reports, they are tests not of the members' piety, but of their politics. All the clergy fail consistently Mr. Jarman's test. All the members of the Black Caucus consistently fail the test for morality or being pro-family or for Christianity. Most of the Jews in the Congress and many of the finest Christians in the Congress who happen to be more liberal than conservative in their politics fail this morality test.
Let's get Mr. LaHaye's comment
on that. That is more McCarthyism.
Let's get Mr. LaHaye's comment. Are you mocking legislators and congressmen by their degree of Christian behavior?
No, I think that's a distortion of what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is
Do you disown the pamphlet that the former congressman just quoted
from? No, let me explain what that kind of thing is doing. It's educating the voters on how the politicians represented them. You see, too long in our country, we've let our congressmen and our senators go back to Washington and vote any way they please just to suit themselves, and then come back and do a little political rhetoric and razzle-dazzle in the district and get reelected. We think that Election Day should be Judgment Day. It should be the day that the voter is well informed on how his representative represented him, and if he didn't represent him adequately according to the voter's beliefs, then he ought to replace him with someone who will.
Mr. Buchanan?
That's the American way.
Mr. Buchanan?
The real distortion is in taking the voting records of devout Christians like Pat Leahy and proclaiming them anti-God or anti-Christian or immoral because...
That's not what we're doing.
That's precisely
no one is called anti-God.
Oh, listen, your report card is called a moral Christian report card.
All right, let's look at it one at a time.
Let's let Mr. Buchanan have the floor and then Mr. Right. LaHaye in a moment.
May I hold up the moral majority report, Reverend Falwell's recent one right after the Democratic Convention in which the whole Democratic Party is characterized as against God. Now, you know, I was a member of the House Prayer Breakfast Group for nearly all the 16 years I was a member of the Congress, indeed all of them. And one of the first things I noticed was that some of the finest Christians and religious persons who regularly attended those prayer breakfasts were conservative Republicans, and some of the finest Christians who attended them were liberal Democrats. They disagreed on all sorts of political issues, just like Senator East and Senator Leahy do. And yet, they're both devout Christians. Now, what you folks are doing is you are mixing politics and religion in a new way. You are guilty of moral McCarthyism because you're branding all of us, millions of Christians in this country, most of the Jews in this country, most of the black community in this country, you're branding as liberal, secular humanists because they disagree with your politics, Reverend LaHaye, and you do it consistently, and I could bring forth a library in this television studio to illustrate that you do it, and you did it in this program.
Let's let Mr. LaHaye comment.
Well, a person that votes for liberal things because he has a liberal philosophy. And that's perfectly acceptable. That's where it comes from, secular humanism. Many liberals are not necessarily secular humanists. What they don't understand is their liberalism is based in secular humanism. But that's a whole other subject.
May I be for the Equal Rights Amendment to be a secular humanist?
When a person votes on issues representing a clientele, he's going to reflect his philosophy. Let me give you an example of how we're not branding people as anti-Christian. Former President Jimmy Carter was a well-known born-again Christian, and yet he was rejected at the polls primarily because his voting record was too liberal or his policies were too liberal, not because he wasn't a good Christian. And so it's a bum rap to accuse us of labeling people as being anti-Christian because we believe their moral standards or voting record should be called into judgment on
election. Mr. Buchanan, can I ask you a question? You're a Republican,
yes,
former
sir.
Republican congressman. Do you think that President Reagan is encouraging or abetting the McCarthyism you've just described by his joining the issue the way he did in Dallas?
I think the president has been very much under the influence of Jerry Falwell and of the religious right, and for some good reasons, if you want to talk about them, certainly good political reasons, because this is a very powerful political force in the United States. Reverend LaHaye and his colleagues do represent a powerful political bloc, an organized, militant minority, well-heeled and very highly motivated, which has political clout. I think the president also has become a pretty good fundamentalist Christian. But I liked what the president had to say today about the wall of separation and about the right of American citizens to worship according to their consciences or not to worship at all. And I really liked his language today because he was reiterating what the First Amendment provides us, and we at People for the American Way are celebrants of our plurality, our diversity, and we seek to protect the constitutional rights of all Americans to do their thing in religion and politics, and not to brand them as anti-Christian or immoral or anti-family because they happen to disagree with a narrow, extremist, far-right agenda.
Mr. LaHaye, has President Reagan made it easier for you to fulfill your promise of delivering 2.5 million fundamentalist votes to him by the stand he took at Dallas? Has he helped you in that?
Actually, I think both candidates have made it easier because Walter Mondale has thrown his weight into the liberal camp, and which is the idea that there are no fixed moral absolutes, and the president refers to traditional values that have always been helpful to the American family. And so they're both making it easier.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank you.
Said it again.
What did he do again? You just said? I'm sorry?
He just branded those who are liberal as having no fixed standards. All of us support the traditional values of family. We are patriots. Many of us are Christians.
Final comment.
Believers. We disagree with your politics, Reverend LaHaye.
Can I give one more comment?
Yes, one brief comment.
We're not blaming them as individuals. What we're saying is liberal philosophy is anti-family, and liberal determinations, for example, pornographic literature,
We have to leave it there, gentlemen. Mr. LaHaye in San Diego, Mr. Buchanan in Washington, thank you.
Jim? Sure.